It's time for Warriors This Week. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play smart, play at Oaks.
Why not? Here's Steph Curry!
Now, here's Sean Dickinson.
And the great Jim Cosimore. Joining me here for the next 4 hours, and you via the phone lines at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. The Golden State Warriors are 1-4, Jim Cosimore, with the Charlotte Hornets in at Chase Center tonight. Game 3 of the 4-game homestand for the Dubs, and a back-to-back. The Warriors losing to the Spurs last night, a game they hung in as they try to figure out their new life without Stephen Curry for the next 3 months, in addition to Klay Thompson and Kevon Looney. And oh, by the way, Draymond Green now is dealing with an injury, which we will get into coming up here shortly. But how things can quickly change, Coz. We were talking a week ago about, you know, this team starts 0-1. They lose to the Clippers, but that's the best team in the NBA. There's certainly better times ahead for this team. And they still, at that point, of course, believed, all right, the playoffs are on the table. You get everybody back. You get better throughout the course of the season. And now with Stephen Curry going down, this year becomes entirely about player development and building toward the future in a blink.
John, did you go right from the arena here and sleep here and just decide, you know, you're just going to do a show? You're just going to continue to talk about the Warriors? As long as you have a waking hour, you'll prepare for and then talk about the Warriors.
I did go home.
You did?
I did go home.
I didn't know that.
I did go home.
Well, good for you.
It's been a long few days here. Not to make it about me, because nobody cares, and I'm having a blast
doing it. I care. I care because I'm your friend.
But you go back to Wednesday?
Yeah.
It was a 3 o'clock wake up call Wednesday morning.
That's right.
Morning show.
Yes.
Until 10 o'clock. Back home. Quick little nap.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Chase Center.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors pre and post for the game against the Suns. Early flight to Phoenix. Down to the desert for 49ers Cardinals.
Nice.
And then right back to the Bay and right over to Chase Center for pre and post last night for the Dubs and Spurs. And then, quick back home last night. And
yep.
Just turn around, come right back for the show today, and then we've got you covered all day long because the Warriors are playing again here on 95.7 The Game as they take on the Charlotte Hornets. A 5:30 tip, so I'll be back on at 4 with Jim Barnett and Whitey Gleason.
You have been busy, 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 my friend. Busy, busy, busy. But that's okay because this is a different year for the Golden State Warriors, and you're true in that all the storylines seem to be coming back around. You know, you've had 7 great years of basketball, and it seems in one fell swoop with a brand new building open, it's almost as if every other day there's now another down story, whether it's when Clay's going to come back, whether it's how Steph gets hurt. Now it's Draymond's a little bit nicked up. You're right. It's about development this year, which in its own way, I think as a Warrior fan, it can be somewhat interesting to see these young guys develop and see what the future can hold.
Well, and when you talk about young guys, though, you're really talking about 2 players. You're talking about Eric Paschal and you're talking about Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole entered into the starting lineup last night with Stephen Curry down. And Stephen Curry's going to be down for the next 3 months.
That was a shocker.
Minimum.
Yeah, that was a shocker when I saw that, right?
Broken second metacarpal.
Yeah, when it came across the phone and I saw that, I thought, 3 months? Do you mean 3 weeks? Remember? Because we heard Chris Mullin say it on the NBC postgame show. He said, I broke my hand before. You're looking at 6 to 8 weeks. And you don't know the intricacies of any injury. Obviously, when they did the MRI and the CT scan, they were able to discover some other things. And it might just be that they're being open and honest to say, listen, we'd love to have him back sooner. It's 3 months, everybody. Do not begin the process of believing this is going to be something that happens quickly and we're going to jump into the race and Clay's going to come back after the All-Star break. They are putting the brakes on all of that, JD. I think they're letting everyone know 3 months for Steph. So let's everybody just pull off this narrative of, well, if they hang close right after the All-Star break, Clay comes back and we're back in the playoffs.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Just how you feeling, Warriors fans? Because this thing has just taken a dramatic turn within the opening week plus. I mean, the season started 9 days ago.
I'm feeling beat up.
And there was a lot of optimism surrounding this Warriors team, I think, from the fan base. I think, you know, the template has almost had to be readjusted for this team a couple of different ways, right? Initially, it was this team can hang in, be slightly above 500. Klay Thompson's coming back. They're going to be a bottom, maybe of the Western Conference, you know, seed, seven, eight seed, something like that.
Yep.
But Klay's going to come back, and nobody's going to want to play them once they get into the playoffs. And you know what? They could make a run with Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and get back to the finals for a sixth consecutive season. That was not a crazy take from the fan base and on this radio station a week and a half ago.
The most dangerous seven seed in the NBA's history is what they were being called.
A week and a half ago, that was the take. And then the Warriors maybe tamped that down a little bit by Steve Kerr's comments, which, again, was just Steve Kerr reading a calendar and how long it takes to rehab from an ACL injury, saying, hey, you know, 9 months from when he had the surgery is April 1st or April 2nd. So don't bet on. And I think,
no, John, he's a fast healer. You know, Clay's a competitor. He's a fast healer. He is not going to, you can't use everyone else's standard on Klay Thompson. That's basically what I was told.
Well, and oh, yes, you can. oh, yes, you can.
You're cutting me off on that.
And the Warriors are. And so, you know, Steve Kerr tamped that down a little bit and said, hey, don't expect Klay Thompson to be back in December or January, because that's what you were hearing. You were hearing, hey, like you said, fast healer, you know, back by the All-Star break easily. But no, the Warriors are going to be careful, and there's a reason the Warriors are going to be careful, and it pertains to just how the remainder of this season is going to have to play out. This goes back to something I was talking about in July, the fact that I like the 2020-21 Warriors a heck of a lot more than the potential for the 2019-20 Warriors to just win games on the court. Just pure wins and losses, I like the 2020-2021 Warriors more. And I laid out a number of reasons why, but the template just keeps changing for this Warriors team. Going to be a tough out as a playoff team when Klay gets back. It went from that to, boy, can they make the playoffs? And I think a lot of people thought they could, even without Klay Thompson, but with Stephen Curry, D'Angelo Russell, and a healthy Draymond Green. But the one rat on the table, or elephant in the room, Coase, was, well, what happens if there's an injury to Steph? What happens if there's an injury to Draymond and one of those guys has to miss? Heck, we were talking 10 or 15 games. Stephen Curry's going to probably miss closer to 30 games, maybe more. And now the context is fully on the future and player development. And, hey, do the best you can, but it's find some pieces that can be with you for the next championship run.
It's on the future and it's on development. But, John, if you take a look at the monies that Golden State already has invested in their guys, and I'm looking at Basketball Reference right now, this year they've got $139 million plus tied up in player salaries. 2020-2021, they already have $148,393,000 tied up in player salaries. And as I look at the players on that list, Willie Cauley-Stein and Glenn Robinson are the only two with options, player options. Everything else is guaranteed. They've spent some money right now, and I don't want to bring up the one thing that was the biggest story when the season started, but the issues with China and how it will change the salary cap and the luxury tax are going to be very intriguing towards building a franchise. So I know that there is interest in 2021 and what guys can do and build and having guys come back. But, man, there's already a lot of money that's been invested in some guys, and I'll be intrigued to see how this organization manifests itself into, because I don't think they sit lightly. I don't think they say, you know what, John, we got 3 and 5 years. Now let's just let the money roll in. I don't think that's how they play. I think Joe Lacob goes out there and he comes loaded for bear and wants to compete.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. How you feeling, Warriors fans, with the news of Stephen Curry being out for the next 3 months? What becomes a successful season for this team? What becomes a year that you're happy with as a Golden State Warriors fan, with the 5 consecutive trips to the NBA Finals, and knowing that this year is going to be more about how they can build toward next year? I'm going to lay out a scenario that I think is in play, and we'll do that coming up. Just how this team can change again to the positive from where they are right now and where they've been, you know, going back to June. And I was thinking about it throughout the show, and it's really just an extension of kind of what I said even going back to July once they lost Kevin Durant. But I want to throw it out there, and I want to see if I am crazy to think that it could be as simple as I think it is when I play this scenario in my head. So we'll get to that coming up. We're going to be joined by Ramona Shelburne of ESPN.
That's huge.
She wrote about a great piece about, you know, the Warriors moving into Chase Center and just the, you know, where this team has been and where they're going, and it was a great piece. We'll talk to her coming up at 10:30. I keep coming back to something that Steve Kerr though said about this Warriors team to Tim Kawakami after the season ended. He mentioned a sabbatical year.
Okay.
For this Warriors team.
Sure.
And, you know, kind of jokingly asking Adam Silver if they could take a sabbatical year. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, well, you know, that's.
Yeah.
This is the way it's played out.
It has.
I mean, they are being forced into essentially a sabbatical year.
They are. You know what? And it's just the way things have rolled for them. It's unfortunate. Some of it is, you know what? Clay Thompson gave all he had to give, but in the end, it cost him a year. Steph Curry, because he's playing so hard, gets tangled up in something that, you know what, you'd never expect it to happen. But when the marbles start to go against you, that's the type of injury you end up getting. He has to sit for 3 months now. Draymond, bumps and bruises. The ones that maybe don't bother you when you're competitive and playing for a 1-2 seed, but when you're not, maybe those bumps and bruises start to bother you just a little bit more. So you're absolutely right. This has turned into a sabbatical year, but as part of it, you got to do something with that sabbatical, right? You can't just let it go. You don't get a free year. You get a sabbatical. You got to go do something with it.
All right, we're going to hear from Draymond Green coming up. We're going to hear from Steve Kerr coming up, and you coming up as well. 888-957-9570. I'm also going to lay out a scenario that I believe firmly could be in play for the Warriors in the 2020-21 season. All that is coming up here. It's John Dickinson, Jim Cosmore. It's Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson, Jim Cosmore, 95.7 The Game. It's Warriors This Week. We're going to hear from Draymond Green after the ball game last night. And
that should be entertaining.
Draymond dealing with a little bit of an injury, but Draymond also, in a matter of 24 hours, has changed his tone completely about where he's at with this Warriors team. 888-957-9570. I do want to get to the calls, though. Let's get to the calls, and then we'll hear from Draymond. And then I'm going to lay out a scenario that I think is plausible for this season and next season for the Golden State Warriors. And I want you to tell me if you think I'm crazy to think that it could work out this particular way.
Is it a measured view? Is it an overly optimistic view? Is it an overly pessimistic view?
I think it's a measured view.
Okay, that's good to know.
But I'm gonna say that I think you will think it's a little bit overly optimistic.
Okay,
which is a little strange,
and
maybe to some coming from me.
Yeah, I know, because you are the angry guy. You and me together with angry shows. But there's no need to be angry. You know what? I can't get angry at this version of the Warriors.
No,
because it's circumstance that's happened to them. That's it, circumstance. And the only thing you can get angry about them in the near future is if they don't compete, if they don't play hard, because you got young guys who are getting NBA minutes who shouldn't be getting them, and they better be thanking their lucky stars. And if I'm Steve Kerr, my job is to get guys to play hard. In some ways, this could be the most fun time for him as a head coach, because he gets to be creative and he gets to be a motivator and actually show what he can do. Because I think there are a lot of people who say, you know what? You could have rolled the balls out with those rosters the last 5 years and you'd have had a chance to win a championship. Well, now Steve Kerr gets to coach. Let's see what you can do as far as motivating guys to play.
All right, let's start on the phone lines at 888-957-9570 with Charlie. Charlie is our tip-off caller here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Charlie.
How are you guys doing? Listen, as Mike Tyson once said, every man has a plan until they're punched in the face. Warriors have been repeatedly punched in the face. Going forward, listen, you know, people talk about tanking. There's no reason to tank. This team is that bad where they should have, if it plays out, you know, a top 10 pick, potentially. Showcase D'Angelo Russell. See what he can do for this team, whether they're going to potentially trade him down the line or keep him in for next year. Play, like you guys said, what you just said, Kerr, see how he can coach these young guys up. Just as a long, long time Warriors fan, I just want to see him play hard. Give 110%. And then going forward, how does this change the game plan? Do they potentially trade Russell near the trade deadline? Do they trade Draymond Green? I'm curious what the game plan will potentially be going down. But I'm curious to hear, JD, your plan for next year going forward. Anyway, guys, I'm running with you for the next 3 hours.
Way to go. Thank you.
Well, one thing I had said in July, and we'll get to it momentarily, was that I believe the 2019-20 season essentially was an off season. You know, this season was an off season, making it a 16-month off season.
In what way?
In that you're building toward being you're no longer a championship contender, mm-hmm. and this was something I said July 1st when Kevin Durant decided to leave. And you knew that Klay Thompson was going to be out for a majority of this season. To me, that made the Warriors, on July 1st, no longer a championship contender.
Okay.
Okay? But when you're no longer a championship contender, my belief is you turn your attention toward using the next 16 months, which is fast forward to when you'll have Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green all back and healthy 100%. And you use this year to build toward being the best possible team and a playoff contending team for that season. So it becomes, you know, the results, while you still at the point of July 1st think, well, this team can be a playoff team. And
right.
I think that was fair. I think it was fair 3 days ago to say that this team could get it together and play better over the course of the season and still be a playoff team in a Western Conference where I think 500 or slightly above is going to get you in for an 8 seed. With Stephen Curry out for the next 3 months, it's just not realistic to think that way.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody out there right now is thinking playoffs.
I agree. So you were convinced that a Curry, Draymond, D'Angelo-led Warrior team had the ability
To be a 7 or an 8 seed.
It could have happened. If yeah. things fell right, and by that you mean Draymond doesn't get beat up, Steph doesn't get beat up, D'Angelo fits in, but those things are going by the wayside, right? So you're getting the worst case scenario. You might see a lot of what you saw last night. D'Angelo goes for between 20 and 30 on a nightly basis, but it's going to be all for naught. So you might get a lot of that. All right, so I hear where you're going. If you had that core of three, kind of a moldable core of three, maybe you stay relevant enough so that once you get to April 1st, you're like, you know what? They're in the hunt. All right, I can buy that theory. I can certainly buy that.
But that's off the table now.
That's completely off the
table.
That's
completely off the table now. And now we are in the midst of essentially month number four of what is a 16-month offseason to gear up and be as good as you can possibly be come October of 2020 when next season tips off. Because I believe, and I'm going to lay it out for you, that the Golden State Warriors can be a championship contending Whoa. Team next season.
So you and I are going to be doing this show on, what is this, November 2nd, 2020.
Yeah, and it'd be Halloween.
It'd be Halloween.
Fast forward.
Because that'll be the Saturday?
Yeah, because I got that calendar thing.
You do. You got that?
Yeah, because Halloween's actually a Saturday next year.
I didn't ask you this, but I know everyone, one of the famous things you're known for at this station is going through last year's schedule, day one all the way through 82.
Sure. You want to run that back just because it's a little happier times?
Or? I know, exactly. We should. Maybe we should go over those. Do you pre-think that? Do you have it down pat now where you're going forward, where you've got?
I have a few.
You're not through 82?
I don't have the whole year.
Okay.
You check back with me in the next couple of weeks, I probably will have the whole year locked in.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know you've got Charlotte and Portland and Houston and Minnesota and Oklahoma City again coming up.
All right, so you know you pretty much have that going. So we know that next year,
and then Utah, the Lakers, and Boston. But I digress.
That's okay. We might need to do that through 4 hours.
We're going to save that show for maybe, I don't know, December 14th.
Not a bad call. So next year it'll be Halloween morning when we're sitting in this very same spot talking about the Warriors season. And you're going to tell me now, in 2019, that you can see a scenario where the Warriors are able to rework their roster with already $148 million spent to the point where they are a relevant title contender?
Yeah, I think the Warriors have a path, and it's a very clear path, to going from championship contender to maybe a bottom five team in the NBA to right back to being championship contending.
Okay.
I think it is a clear cut free fall on your graph.
Yeah, it is.
It's a you're up at the top of the mountain, it's a free fall, and then you're right back up near the top of the mountain.
Okay.
Just like that. So we're going to lay that out coming up. We also have our call of the game coming up.
Oh, I like that.
From last night's game. Somebody's going to have a chance to win $100 if they can correctly identify the call of the game. So we'll take calls for that coming up here in just a moment. Let's get to Scott, though, in Berkeley. Scott, you're up next here on Warriors This Week. What's up, Scott?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, Scott. Thanks for joining us today.
First of all, Jim, you said something very nice about me last week after my call. I wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Hey, we always appreciate good, thoughtful, smart callers, so I appreciate you coming back and saying that. It's very kind of you.
Well, I try. Anyway, you know, if you know the long history of the Warriors, my worry now is that as the pendulum swings back, we're not getting a pendulum, we're getting a wrecking ball. Because if you go all the way back to 1964 and them making the finals, then 10 months later, Wilt Chamberlain was telling Franklin Muley that he wanted to go back to Philadelphia. You go to 67, they made the finals then, and then 3 months later, Rick Barry signed with the Oaks. And there's just been a long, complicated history of when things have gone well for the franchise, something goes wrong, and it all goes wrong. And I guess what I'm I'm worried about how long they get out of it. I mean, we're talking about a situation comparable now to kind of like the Spurs, I guess, in 97, where the year just goes south. You don't want to say tank because Sam Hinkie ruined that for everybody forever.
Correct.
But, you know, you're almost all hands on deck. You're already sending out the scouts to the colleges. You're probably on the phone with Andrew Bogut at least once a week to keep an eye on the kids over there. And you're hoping to work out of it. And admittedly, we're kind of in a different area because when the things went bad with the Warriors, they stayed bad for a long time. It's, you know, excluding the Cohen era, which of course was what it was. But you're now kind of like wondering how long, you know, John is putting forth a scenario of things getting turned around quickly. I'm kind of going, let's go slow. Let's hope that, you know, I mean, you know, let's draft well and see what happens coming out. And that's kind of where I'm at this point. I mean, it's frustrating. It's going to be frustrating, I think, especially for people who have taken the short view and, you know, don't understand the whole of the history of this franchise. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah, you're
Thanks,
right.
Scott.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. You are right. And listen, this is by no means a rip job on Warrior fans, but when a team is good, you naturally attract more fans. And the fans that come on board when you are winning, they're used to winning. This is going to be new to a lot of Warrior fans. And that's not a rip job. That's true with any team on any level. You think there are a lot of Washington Nationals fans running around until the last 2 weeks? Come on. Let's be honest here. So there are going to be some people where this is a shock. They're like, wait a minute. We're used to having our Warrior party on the night of the game, JD, where we know we're going to win or be competitive that night, and we're always going to be on national TV. It ain't going to happen this year. You have to have a different lens to view the Golden State Warriors this season. And I think our last caller kind of laid it out that sometimes you have greatness, you got to pull back. I know you've also said you're kind of, it's almost like you're catching a falling knife. Boy, you've had the highest of highs, but that low, you're hitting a steep drop for that low, but you're going to eventually present between now and 1 o'clock a little view that might get you swinging back upwards and a big, fast climb.
All right, it's time for our call of the game.
Oh, I like this.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. If you know the call of the game from last night's game at Chase Center against the San Antonio Spurs, call in now at 888-957-9570, and we'll see if you can get the call of the game correct. We'll do that coming up here. It's for $100 to Schroeder's in San Francisco.
Nice place right over here. Right over here on Front Street, I think it is. That's solid quality. Quality little food and bev, so everyone can enjoy that. But you got to get the call of the game. I like it. I got it right the other day. I know Wednesday JD filled in the morning for Joe Fortenbaugh. Thursday I filled in for Joe Fortenbaugh, and I got it right. The caller did not get it right, and I faced the caller. It's what I do. I'm going to trash him if you're going to get it wrong.
Caller three.
Oh, is that what it is?
Caller three.
Okay. Caller number three.
At 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570.
Caller three, because the Warriors will have three wins by the end of the week. Is that what you're saying? They've got one now.
What's your by the end of next week?
By the end of this week, they're going to get one tonight.
Well, that would be two.
That's two.
And that's the end of the week.
Well, let's just call it weekend to weekend. Let's
into
call
the homestand. Into the homestand.
Yeah, let's do that. End of the homestand. They'll have three. I'll give them that. I'll take it.
I think we live in a world where you can no longer start plucking wins. That's a win. That's a win. I don't think you can do that.
No, you don't think so? You can't play the schedule game?
I don't think you can play the schedule game. I think the Oklahoma City game showed that you can't play the schedule game with this team.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that was kind of a false idea. We still had the residue of the last few years where we could kind of figure, oh, yeah, we can play this schedule game. We still have Steph. We still have Draymond. And so we have the ability to impose our will, especially the optics of Oklahoma City was what? They were completely tanking, and they were going to reset their franchise. You know what? Oklahoma City's not horrible. I know they're 1-4, but they compete. All right? They compete. That's all I know.
All right, let's get to John in Hayward. John, with our call of the game. John, what is the correct call from last night's game between the Warriors and the Spurs?
Morning, guys. D'Angelo Russell 3.
Let's hear it.
It's time for the call of the game. Brought to you by Metro by T-Mobile.
Russell behind the back dribble, and Mills went the other way. Three ball good on the left side. That was sweet.
John, congratulations. You have the correct call of the game, and because nobody won the $50 from the last game after the Warriors dropped the contest to the Suns, that $50 rolled over, so you are the winner of $100 to Schroeder's in San Francisco. Thanks, John. Stay
on the
line.
John.
Great job.
Congratulations, buddy. And thanks for listening, too, by the way.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. And so that'll be $50 on the line with the ball game tonight. And you can tune in on Monday to Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game if you know the correct call of the game tonight. And that'll be your next opportunity to win. So good stuff there.
Can I say this about just over at the Chase Center? And you get to be there and you know, get to experience everything that goes on. The night that Steph got hurt, I just want to commend the fans who are in the building. Because they were getting their butts kicked. It was an ugly day. But in the fourth quarter, you know, the secondary guys were making a little run, trying to make it interesting against Phoenix. And you know what, JD? Those fans who were there were into it. They made the, you know, they were down 20-something. They cut it to 12 or whatever it was. But the fans were enjoying themselves. And I got to commend them because a lot of fans had sit on their hands knowing that their superstar is going to be out for a while, knowing that it looks like the season's going to struggle. You know what? I give credit to you. You went to the new building. You paid your money. You hung around. You saw a team get beat. But when they tried and played hard, you were there for them, and that's all you can ask for.
All right, are you ready for the plan?
Are you going to give it to me now?
All right, I'm going to lay out the plan.
All right.
Right now. The plan that sees the Warriors go from a championship-contending team, working your way back a few months, to where they are now, to a championship-contending team next season, the 2020-21 season.
So John Dickinson's 16-month offseason.
Yes.
With 82 games in the midst of
and
it.
And look.
But still, it's an offseason. This
is an extension of a plan that I laid out on July 1st when Kevin Durant decided that he was going to head to Brooklyn and the Warriors decided that they were going to add D'Angelo Russell. All right, here's the plan. All right, first and foremost, it starts with the championship core of this team, which is Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green.
Okay.
So Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green need to make it through the 2019-20 season healthy. And I'm okay with bringing Steph Curry back.
Okay, can I ask you this then? And it's going
because I know that's going to be a question that we're going to get to at some point here during the season. Is it worth bringing him back? Is it worth bringing Klay back? Will Draymond be shut down? Maybe Draymond gets shut down. Maybe Curry comes back. Maybe he doesn't. I don't think, as part of this plan, it isn't they can't come back.
So, of that, you already said you don't mind if Steph comes back, but to me, the biggest piece to that puzzle is, will Klay come back, and do you want him to come back?
I do.
You want him to come back at some point, and I'm in full agreement with that, because the two cases are, you sit the entire season, you only work out, you only scrimmage against your teammates, you only do that, and the other side is, you come back knowing you're not going to be a playoff team, but you knock the mental rust off. Not as much as the physical rust, but the mental rust of this being the first time you've really been injured, and it's a knee situation, and you're an aggressive player at both ends of the floor. Give me a month of NBA basketball, no back-to-backs, to let your body and mind heal from an injury, so that way you come back fresh the following season. So I just wanted to clarify, that's part of it. Those three are important. But you're not against seeing them play a little bit this
Step
year.
Step one, Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, end this year healthy to come back next season healthy. It's an extension of Steve Kerr to Tim Kawakami at the end of the season, sabbatical year.
Gotcha.
So those three, the championship core, return.
Okay.
Okay, that's step one to how this team can become a championship caliber team a year from now. Step two is player development.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, and we're going to talk a lot about player development this season, right? But really, when you look at the guys that are playing for the Warriors, Glenn Robinson, Willie Cauley-Stein, D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Poole, Damian Lee, Marquise Chris, Alec Burks, Eric Paschal, Kai Bowman, Amari Spellman, when you talk about the young guys and player development, you're really talking about two guys.
Little Smiley Geach? You give me a little Smiley Geach in that?
Smiley Geach hasn't come back yet, but I'll put him in there once he does. It's really about Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal. It's about Jordan Poole and Eric Paschal developing this season, because they're going to play more minutes than anybody would have anticipated, developing into rotation players.
Can I add
in the NBA?
This is me, and I'm going to be selfish on this. Can I add Marquise Chris to that list?
No.
You don't think
I'm
so?
You know what?
You think his NBA career has been decided?
I don't know that his NBA career has been decided, but I'm not going to put him, for the purposes of this conversation, in the Warriors' future. I'm just that's where I'm going to draw the line.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to draw the line.
22 years old.
I am going to put Smiley Geach in there.
Wow. Interesting. Smiley Geach is 19. Just hear me out. Here's my Marquise Chris thing. 22 years old. He's drafted young by a bad organization in Phoenix. He got lobbed to another bad organization in Cleveland. He's been flailing with no direction. I think this is his first chance to understand NBA direction because of some of the other guys who are strong-willed around him. So I know you don't want to put him there, but I'm going to put him with the asterisk, but go right ahead with the rest of your theory.
Yeah, no, I'll put Paschal, Poole, and Smiley Geach in that conversation.
Okay.
You got to figure out what D'Angelo Russell is, and does D'Angelo Russell fit? But to me, you acquired D'Angelo Russell because you needed to acquire an asset.
Totally agree.
When Kevin Durant left.
Totally agree.
An asset can mean a player that you like and want to be a Golden State Warrior for years to come. An asset can be somebody that you can trade to another team once he's eligible to be traded. I don't think we fully know the answer to that question yet. And I think part of the reason you go get D'Angelo Russell is for this scenario that's actually in play now, where Stephen Curry gets hurt and this season takes a turn for the worse, because you wanted to have somebody that you can at least put the ball in his hands and try to be a number one scorer in this league just to keep you in some games. And D'Angelo Russell was able to do that for a half last night against a team that's going to be a playoff team in the Western Conference in the San Antonio Spurs. To me, I'm going, and look, I'm saying trade D'Angelo Russell. And, okay. I'm saying trade D'Angelo Russell for two rotation players.
Really?
Two rotation players, maybe one starter that's not Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, or Stephen Curry.
How about a starter and a pick? It depends. See, here's the thing. With Steph being out right now, I will give you this. D'Angelo Russell gets to shine right now. They might not win a lot of games, but he gets to shine. D'Angelo Russell was the shining bright light of the Brooklyn Nets last year. He ran him into a playoff spot. He was individually the best offensive player on that roster. They were willing to give him up because of the things that they ended up getting for him. He gets a chance to shine, which means the Warriors get a chance to showcase, which means in your scenario, this might be the best case scenario that other teams say, I kind of like this guy. And for instance, JD, if memory serves me, isn't D'Angelo Russell somebody who wants to play with Karl Anthony Towns? I believe that's his. Are those the guys who have said they want to play together? Is Devin Booker part of that group?
Yeah, it was Devin Booker was another part of it.
At first, yeah. But at first Russell wanted to go to Minnesota. Golden State stepped in,
sure.
And they're the ones who got
it. Sure, and I don't know what the fit is there, mm-hmm. necessarily, but I'm of the belief, and I've said this, that you don't have to trade D'Angelo Russell for another star. You could trade him for two rotation players and add that to the mix. This is how the Warriors get back to maybe more of a strength in numbers type of a mentality. So I've got healthy Curry, healthy Clay, healthy Draymond Green coming into next year. I've got Eric Paschal and Jordan Poole as top 10 players, let's say, on this team, bench depth. You've still got Kevon Looney coming back as your sixth player in this scenario. And you're going to get, I'm going to put two players for D'Angelo Russell. You're going to get two players for D'Angelo Russell.
Rotational players.
So at that point, you're talking about eight rotation players for the Golden State Warriors, who also are going to have a trade exception of $17 million for the Andre Iguodala trade to add a ninth rotational player into the mix. And it's looking like this team is going to have top 10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may wind up being a top 5 pick. It may wind up being a top 3 pick. The lottery is a funny animal. We can't get into the semantics of the lottery and you got to get one.
There's time for that.
Anywhere between 1 and 10 at this particular point in time. But that's another player that the Warriors can add into this mix. So it's not just about Curry, Clay, Draymond, and we got to burn a timeout here.
Okay.
It's about those three as the foundation with as many as seven new players on this Warriors team to build around them. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Coase is probably going to pick that to shreds and tell me I'm crazy. Am I crazy to think that the Golden State Warriors can be a championship-contending team next season? We'll discuss that coming up here. It's Warriors This Week at 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I've laid out the plan that I think my guy Jim Cosmore is going to tear down to the studs.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm maybe not as out over my skis as you are.
Warriors This Week, John Dickinson, Jim Cosmore, and you at 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text line 95795. And I'll do a quick note, quick Cliff Notes version of the plan. Mm-hmm. But the question is, can the Warriors be a championship contending team next season, meaning a year from now, 2020-2021? Can they use the next year effectively as what would become a 16-month offseason from the time that they lost in the NBA Finals and Kevin Durant decided he was going to go play for the Brooklyn Nets?
So there are some things that I want to get through on your plan to get back to prominence, right? Challenging for a title. You're just not going to build a title team, but you're going to challenge for the title. You want to get into the discussion. And part of it does include a draft pick. And I know that a lot of Warrior fans, and I've heard it and seen it on social media, tank, get the highest draft pick possible. And I've just picked a couple of random years out, all right? A couple of random NBA draft years. The one I'm looking at right now is 2011. And here are the players taken 2 through 8, All right, 2 through 8 in the NBA draft. Which you'd love to, if you say, "Hey, I'll take something like that." Ready? Derek Williams went number 2 to Minnesota. Enes Kanter went to the Utah Jazz. He's been fine, but he's not fabulous. Tristan Thompson, he's overpaid for nothing. Jonas Valanciunas, he's okay, but he's not shaking the world. Jan Vesely, is he even in the league anymore? Jan Vesely, Bismarck Biyombo, Brandon Knight. Those are the guys taken 2 through 8. The best players in this draft, Kawhi Leonard, taken at 15. You guys heard of Klay Thompson? Taken at 11. Jimmer Fredette taken just ahead of him, I might add, by the Milwaukee Bucks and sent him to the Sacramento Kings. Kemba Walker at number 9. Jimmy Butler at number 30. Get Tank out of your head. You end up in the lottery. You have just as good a chance at number 9 as you do at number 2 of getting a good player. Unless LeBron's coming out. Kyrie went number 1 that year, JD. Kyrie went number 1. But if you redrafted, Kyrie wouldn't go number 1 this year. Would he? Kyrie's not going over Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi's not going over Klay Thompson. Kawhi not go over Jimmy Butler? Would you take him over Jimmy Butler?
Who?
Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Kyrie Irving over Jimmy Butler? It's a tough
call. I probably would.
See, I'm not sure I would. Just because of what Kyrie has done, I got to leave Cleveland to get my team in Boston. He's got his team in Boston. Proclaims his love, says I'm going to sign the full max. Then says, nah, I got to go be with my buddy in Brooklyn. Jimmy Butler's a different guy as well. My point about the season, if you're a Warrior fan, is don't think because you're tanking and you're getting a 1, 2, or 3, or even the number 1 overall selection, that that's going to be the panacea to the quick turnaround. The Warriors are smart people. You get a nice pick in the lottery, you can be just as effective at 9, at 11, at 15, as you are at number 2 through 8.
Yeah, and look, the one thing that I refuse to do is say top 3 pick, top 5
right.
pick. I am comfortable right now saying it looks like they're going to have a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah.
Knowing that Stephen Curry's not going to play for the next 3 months and Klay Thompson's not going to play until April at the earliest with a handful of games left in the season.
All right, I'm going to say something that's sacrilegious here in Northern California, but I think that it's something that we should broach. Of your plan, part of your plan, there are some moves they can make. They do have the $17 million you said on the Andre Iguodala scenario. Are the Golden State Warriors the IT franchise any longer? Is this the franchise if I'm a guy in the league? Because there were guys in the league who wanted to look here.
Here's the thing, though, with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll jump in right there. Sure. It's a trade exception.
Okay.
So you're trading for a guy. See, I'll get a couple of things on my plan. One, I haven't mentioned the T word.
No.
I haven't mentioned the T word because I don't think that's germane to the conversation. The Warriors are just going to be the Warriors, who the Warriors are.
Right.
I don't need to mention the T word. The other thing is none of what I've laid out hinges on any player in the league choosing the Warriors. It has to do with the Warriors choosing players.
Picking somebody and going and getting them.
You're bringing Curry back. You're bringing Klay back. You're bringing Draymond back. You're deciding what D'Angelo Russell is. Is D'Angelo Russell a super sixth man on that team for the Golden State Warriors? Or is D'Angelo Russell worth exploring the option to trade him for a couple of rotation players? Now, we've already had a text on the Chilton Autobody text line that said, oh, D'Angelo's worth more than 2 role players. Well, you know what? That's what this season is finding out. What is his worth around the league?
Sure.
I'm of the opinion, though, that 2 rotation players, 2 bench players even, would be enough to get the Warriors back into championship contention next season in conjunction with the other things that I've laid out. So it's Curry, it's Klay, it's Draymond, it's either Russell's a part of it as a bench guy, sixth man, or he's not a part of it and he brings you 2 guys that can play for you coming back. It's Pascal's development, Poole's development, Smiley Geach's development, although you still may put him as an 11 through 15 roster guy going into next year. You've got Kevon Looney coming back as your 4th piece, let's say, among the guys that were around when this team was still winning championships.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a top 10 pick and a trade exception. Oh, by the way, those 2 avenues to acquiring talent don't have anything to do with anybody choosing the Warriors.
Okay.
The Warriors choose them. Now, beyond that, I've already laid out a roster of, let's say, 11 or 12 that I think is going to be a deeper, far more competitive roster than what the Warriors are running out there right now, and you've still got a mid-level exception at that point, and you've got veteran minimums at that point, and you're not going to be hard-capped anymore. A lot of it will hinge on the level of play that Curry, Thompson, and Draymond can achieve at the back end of their prime, because that is the one caveat to this.
That's
it is
huge.
The back end of their prime at that point.
And that's going to be my next phase of just poking a little hole in your theory. Next year when we do this show on Halloween, Steph Curry's going to be 32. Draymond Green's going to be 30. So is Klay Thompson. And they've got a lot of tread on the wear on the tire. The tread's been worn a little bit. You make long playoff runs the way they have the last, call it 7 years, because they've had 7 years of playoff experience. But we pointed out how their bodies had, in a five-year stretch, I believe, had a six-year, they had a sixth year taken out of their body in playoff games alone. Going into this last year when the Raptors series started, I believe they had played 83 extra games on their body. That's adding another year of wear and tear on their bodies of an NBA season. I'm just saying that now as I look at your plan, I get a little bit older Steph Curry. I get a little bit older guys that I'm going to count on as my leaders. Where is my infusion of athleticism and keeping athletically up with the greatness of Curry and Thompson and Green? Where is that going to come from? Because of the guys that we're naming, I'm not sure we see that. D'Angelo Russell's piece is going to be the most interesting, because at the age of 23, and he's signed for a long time with big money, D'Angelo Russell could be a valuable piece to somebody. Can I ask you another question on your plan?
Sure.
Is it possible that you see enough from D'Angelo Russell this year that you decide maybe we could reboot by moving on from either Draymond or Clay, God forbid Steph.
Not Steph or Clay.
Okay.
And Draymond, you'd have to examine. It's more specific.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not saying I'm building this franchise going forward around D'Angelo Russell.
Okay.
I think we kind of already know
but
that.
But as part of the core, can we see enough in this next 5 months, 4 months?
As a bench player, maybe.
Wow.
But do you want to be...
Do you know how much they're spending for him to be a bench player then?
But again, you take the asset that you can get. For Kevin Durant. I mean, that was the path that they chose. It was, hey, you can get D'Angelo Russell for Kevin Durant, bring in an asset back, but...
Which I said was going
to
happen.
But you're going to have to max him.
Right.
I mean, in a perfect world, do you want to max D'Angelo Russell? Probably not. I mean, let's just be honest.
Nope.
Probably not. But that's how you're able to get him to come. To get him to agree to okay, I want to go there. Let's figure out a trade to make it happen. So,
yes.
I it's twofold. It's let's see how it works with him, but if it doesn't work, you can trade him. And if you trade him, you don't necessarily have to get top. You don't have to get an all-star back for him.
Right.
And you can still be okay if the other things are in place. If you draft well, if Curry and Clay and Draymond come back and they're still relatively in their prime, if Eric Paschal and Jordan Poole and Smiley each develop a little bit. So this doesn't hinge on D'Angelo Russell having to be a star or get better or anything. That's why I think it's actually less crazy than some. Because I think some would think, well, no, D'Angelo's got to be this or he's got to be that or he's got to bring back Giannis, you know, in some trade where Giannis says he wants to come here. I'm not even exploring that. That to
right.
me is more of a pipe dream.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying it's got to be the number one pick in the draft. That to me is a pipe dream.
Right.
Because you don't know what's going to happen with the ping pong balls. All right. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. We do have people that want to squawk on the phone lines, Coach. You want to make a quick point before we do that?
You know what? No, let's let the people talk. My point can wait. I've got a pen and paper. I can put it down and talk about it a little bit.
All right. Let's get to Chris in Pacifica. Chris is up next here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say that with Clay going down in the finals, this season was built towards staying afloat until he comes back. Now with Steph going out, it's basically built on player development and just focusing on the players. We're going to see which of these young players are going to stick around for the future, who's going to contribute. And I just got to say that I'm kind of disappointed in Dub Nation right now because they're not showing out. I get it's a bad team, but this team just gave us five amazing dynastic years, you know? So, Dub Nation, you got to step up.
All right, thanks for the call.
I don't see that.
I thought in the game the other night where Steph went down, the fans who were still in Chase Center were cheering for the guys who were cutting the 20-plus deficit down to a 12-point game, and I think most people knew they weren't going to come back and win the game, but for goodness sakes, it was... I kind of got an energized feeling, as bad as you feel, knowing that your superstar is done, and at the time he didn't know how long he was going to be out. I don't think anyone's crapping on the Warriors right now. That's the way I look at it. I think the fans who are there are into it.
Yeah, I think the fans who were there are into it last night. When the team was competitive in the first half and then things got away in the third quarter where they allowed 40 points and 70 in the second half.
Mm.
Unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of nights like that.
Yeah, there are. And you know what? You're going to be forced to finding good and bad in every night. In a night when you give up 70 in the second half, you're going to have to find a couple of gems that you kind of build on. That's Steve Kerr's job. You know what? Steve Kerr gets to be an NBA head coach this year. That's the one thing we learn about this. And certainly, he's had great success, but he's had a different variable. He had the best players in the game. Now, he gets an opportunity to build, to help guys grow, to see what he can develop. And maybe it's the sabbatical year. You asked for it, Steve. You got it. Now, what do you do with it?
Tish and Hercules is up next here. Hey, Tish, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to say sincerely, not just kissing up, that as long as you guys are on at 9 o'clock on Saturdays for the rest of the season, it's going to be okay. Because I love the way you guys help geeks like me break down the week before and look ahead to the coming week. So especially JD, you're great. But what I look forward to this season is that it's going to be going in without any expectations to see what's going to happen. It's going to be exciting to see these young guys develop. I did think we had a chance at the playoffs. I must say, even as optimistic as I am, I don't feel that way anymore. The other prediction I'd like to say is by next Halloween, you're going to be talking about Clay's engagement. I think Clay's going to get engaged, that young actress, because he's going to be 30 and he's maturing, and I think he's going to be engaged.
So really?
I'm going to keep listening, guys.
All right, Tish. I appreciate it. So a little engagement talk we've got going here. We're going to talk what kind of ring. Is it a princess cut? Right? Is that what we're going to get into? I'll be down with that. I'm all for a little marriage talk. You know, I like the last call. She does a great job. She comes in every week with some solid stuff, and we really appreciate you listening to us on the weekends. And by the way, JD, who's the overnight success, has been at this career for 20 years, but he's an overnight success. He's got everything going this year. He's got the busiest schedule of anyone here. So we do appreciate you, JD, and all the things that you do. But you start to look ahead at this team, and that's what you're going to start to do. You're going to look and say, well, you got Charlotte tonight, but then you got Portland, playoff team. You go to Houston, playoff team. You go to Minnesota. Hey, Minnesota's surprising some people, and I'm one of them. I thought they were going to be a crap factory this year. It's early.
They still might be.
They might be, but man, they're competing. They are competing, and then it's back to Oklahoma City. This isn't going to be the easiest of weeks for the Golden State Warriors. I can tell you that, brother.
I don't think there's any game on the schedule currently where you can pencil it in and say that's a win.
No. And tonight, if you're looking at what's coming up, boy, I'm looking at what's coming up in the near future. Tonight is one, possibly Oklahoma City. That's on the...
Next Saturday.
And then the following Sunday, which would be the 17th, at New Orleans again. Those are the ones where you start to go, okay. But you know what? You can't look at games, wins and loss right now with the Golden State Warriors. You have to look at it as develop and fun. Last caller was right. It is going to be fun. And you know what else it's going to be, John? It's going to be frustrating. There are going to be nights when you see guys and you know they can do something, and because they just don't have the NBA experience or the chops, they can't do it yet, and you're going to get frustrated. But it's just like with your own kids. You see when they have an opportunity to do the right thing, and they're going to try, and it's not going to come up right, and you're going to feel bad. But on the days when it happens, you're going to be overjoyed. That's what this year with the Golden State Warriors is.
Chilton Autobody text line at 95795 doesn't exactly think that my 2020-21 plan is all that crazy. Most people think, that the Warriors, they're on board with the plan. One thing I will say, 831, JD, the rotational players must be defensive-minded players. I think you're going to have a few defensive-minded players among those, or guys that, you know, can play on both ends.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that you're absolutely right. That, again, when you're filling out the roster, you need guys to check boxes. But those are two of the biggest boxes. Listen, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the Warriors were known as one of the great offensive teams in the world. But everything they talked about was winning on the defensive end. They didn't talk about Kevin Durant being the most difficult guy to guard in the league. They talked about Kevin Durant being so underappreciated defensively. So good job on the text line. You're right. Those the rotational guys absolutely have got to be guys who can play at the defensive end of the floor.
All right, I'm looking at the plan, at the 16-month offseason plan.
I got you.
And I'm looking at Curry and Clay and Draymond.
A year older. All of them a year older.
As the three. That's got to be the core three.
Okay.
I'm looking at players that are going to get extended playing time this year in terms of development. And I've got Eric Paschal, Jordan Poole, Jacob Evans, and Alan Smilagic as those players. We did leave Jacob Evans out, and he's got the adductor strain, so he's going to be reevaluated in about 2.5 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. But he's somebody that's going to come back. And he, I would put in the category of Poole and Paschal and Smilagic as far as development. So you've got those four guys that you're focused on as far as player development. You've got Kevon Looney, who may need